School of Prayer. That's where we are at again this afternoon. And what we are doing is learning the proper way to pray. For many weeks, we have been talking about God-centered praying. And we are still on it. We are still on it anyway. So we are still on our matter of God-centered praying. And we're going to just continue from what we have been saying the last two sessions we have here and tie to what we discussed on Saturday. I said before that what we discussed on Saturday, we'll try and use it to pray because the Word of God does one thing for you. Let me just start by explaining that. I've said it again and again, but of course you can't say these things enough. When the Word of God comes, sometimes we think that we are, of course we are supposed to obey the Word of God. If you believe that, say amen. If you believe that every word that comes from the mouth of God should bring forth obedience in your life, say amen.
Amen.
But what I keep emphasizing is that the obedience is not by power, like we say. It's not by might. It is by His Spirit. That is what is meant when they say the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. If God gives you a word, He doesn't expect you It does not expect you to obey it with your own strength. And that's what I'm emphasizing again. Anytime you hear a word, you take that word to God in what? In prayer. You do. All right? We said, read from the book of Hebrews chapter 4, that we draw near to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I've emphasized several times before that that time of need is not a time of hunger. That time of need is not referring to the time of physical need. That time of need is referring to the time that you do not have the strength in yourself to obey the word of God. That's the time of need. And so if you read that story in the book of Hebrews, beginning from chapter 1 down to that chapter 4, you see that he was emphasizing on obedience. That when the word of God comes to you, be careful that you don't disobey it. When the word of God comes to you, don't let it slip away from you. He said, under the old covenant, every transgression got a just recompense of reward. That is, everyone who disobeyed the law of Moses did not receive any mercy. He now said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He now described that salvation, how it was preached, all right? It was delivered, all right, by the Son of God, which was what he tried to bring out from the first few verses in chapter 1, that the fact that the Son is superior to angels. So he now said that, this word is alive in chapter 4. Of course, chapter 3, chapter 4, he explained the fact that we need, all right, to labor to enter into his rest. And that labor is labor of obedience. He said those who did not enter into his rest, they did not enter because of what? Disobedience. Because of disobedience. So he now said the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. What he was saying is that word works on you, all right? You are not the one that acts upon the word. The word actually acts upon you. So when you hear a word, when a word comes to you, when God says, this is what I want you to do, he said, hold on to that confession. Don't do like the world is doing right now. They tell you that if you have a feeling, if you're a man, you have a feeling for another man, it means you're a homosexual. No, it means you are being tempted of Satan into sexual perversion. That's all it means. That's what it means to hold on to the word of God. The word says, look, if your feeling disagrees with established doctrine, hold on to your feeling. Do you understand? That's what the world is trying to teach. But God says, hold on to the confession of truth that you know. That if God says this is wrong, just accept it is wrong. Then take that confession to him in prayer. Please, notice that. He said, when you get to the place of prayer, that's Hebrews chapter 4 now, you will find grace to help, all right, you understand, in the time of need. That is, there is never any excuse to disobey the word of God. That's what he was saying. Because it's not by your own strength you will obey it. It's not by your own effort. What you will do is to take that word to the place of prayer. And when you get in there, God will supply grace for obedience to you. That's what he meant when he said, draw near to the throne of grace. You might find grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The idea is this, no matter what your excuse, you are not allowed to disobey God. And the reason why God will not even accept any excuse from you now is that he has given you the avenue. I'm not just saying have knowledge. I'm saying take that word to God in prayer. When you get to the place of prayer, God works on you. That's what is called grace. And grace makes the word act upon you. You will find obedience. No, you see, I've read many stories in this life, all right? You find that those who obeyed God, most of the times, they just found that they obeyed God. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Do you get the point? Listen, it's afterwards they realize, how did I do that? How did I do that? What am I trying to explain? For example, they say, don't bow before. What happened? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes, there was a golden image, a mighty image, and they said, don't bow before it. That's the commandment of God. The king said, bow. Anytime you hear that sound, bow. But they said, we are not going to bow. I can assure you of one thing. When they put you in front of fire, you will bow. Did you hear what I said? No, you didn't hear me well. If fire blows, listen, just go home, get a candle, put it in your nose. Then ask yourself, will I not bow when this thing, God will understand, this thing is hot. Yeah, those guys did not bow. Why? Not because they are stronger than you, but because grace, all right, to help in the time of need was supplied to them. Let me ask you a question. How did Jesus go to the cross? Determination? If you think it's determination, say amen. Oh, you change your mind. It's in the scriptures. Angels came and did what? Strengthened him. Why are you? If Jesus can't do it, who are you? Jesus did not go to the cross with pay. Just watch. I'm a son of God. Were you not there at the Jordan that day? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. You think it's an ordinary mouth? When God said it, he knew the kind of power that I had. So watch. No. When he saw the pain that was going to come, he ran into the garden. He came to the door of the garden. He said, wait, I'm coming. He went back into the garden. The Bible says angels came and did what? Strengthened him. If Jesus needed the strength of angels, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego needed the strength of archangels. They needed it too. And you also need it. That's what we are discussing. You also need it. If you see men in the Bible obey scripture, obey the commandment of God. My best scripture from there is Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. He said, when he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. What's our prayer about? God-centered prayer. We want to tap into that Spirit that will enter into us and set us on our feet. I keep on saying, God sent you. Oh, yeah, go and preach in Sambisa Forest. Just get up and say, I'm going to Sambisa. Look, when you hear one expression about you, you will come back to Enugu. What you do is take that knowledge of the will of God in that area. You take it to prayer and pray until you wake up one day, you find that you have reached Sambisa Forest. For those who are listening to this who don't know what Sambisa Forest, that is the seat of Boko Haram. You know, said the Bible talked about where Satan has his throne. And that's it. That's the valley of the shadow of death. Yet, God can send somebody inside there. When he called Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, you know what you're going to do? You're going to preach for me. Jeremiah said, you know I'm too small. God said, do not say. That is, if you use those words, you incapacitate yourself. You remove the anointing of God to help you. So what will happen? Anywhere I send you to go, you will go. Now, that was not advice, like, make sure anywhere I send you to go, you will go. Are you getting what I'm saying? We must understand how God works. What God said, anywhere I send you to go, you will go. What do you say? Amen. When you say that, the power to go will enter into you. They will say, stay. Say, no, I can't stay. That same Jeremiah, you know what happened to him later? The word brought him persecution. So you know what he did? He said, I won't preach again. He said, the word became like fire in my bones. It was not like I wanted to continue talking. If I didn't talk, the talk erupted out of me. It was the same person at the beginning. They said, go. He said, you know I'm too small. You know I can't talk. You know I'm a youth. You must understand how it is. He said, go before the most powerful men in the city or in the country and say to them, thus says the Lord, you will die. I don't know whether I get my point. That's what the kind of assignment they gave him. Go and prophesy, you will stand in the open and prophesy against the whole city. Men who don't like you, we want to kill you. And they tried that with Jeremiah. So at the point in time, Jeremiah said, this preaching is not bringing me offering. What is bringing me is what? Persecution. Troubles. One day, I heard one pastor. He saw another pastor. They were talking. That one said they do four services on Sunday. He said, four services on a Sunday? You preach four services? How much is your prophet's offering? That was the question. You are preaching four services. Please, what is the prophet's offering? Jeremiah said, this one is not bringing me prophet's offering. It's bringing me prophet's beating, prophet's persecution, prophetic harassment. So he said, I won't talk again. The same man who at the beginning they said, talk, he said, I can't talk. Now he made up his mind, I won't talk again. You know, God didn't say anything. The angel said, Lord, he doesn't want to talk anymore. The Lord said, let's watch it. We have put a spirit into him. He can't help but talk. So when he got home and said, I'm not talking again, then in inside his stomach, the word began to bubble. He began to have bone pains, joint pains, fever. Are you getting my point? Backache. He said, what is all of these troubles? He said, it is a word inside him that wants to come out. Finally, he opened his mouth and began to prophesy. What am I saying? Obedience to God is not because of your strength. Obedience to God is that you tapped into his strength and you are obeying with his strength. It's called the Spirit entering into you and setting you up on your feet. And that's what we are doing again. On Saturday, I talked about the will of God, if you remember. I said that okay, we're talking about God-centered praying. So in this hour, God-centered praying, we're emphasizing again that our prayers are not focused on the devil. Our prayers are not focused on problems. Our prayers are not focused on our needs, our perceived needs. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? No, our prayers are not focused on those things. The prayers are focused on drawing us closer to God. And I'm saying, the closer we are to God, the more those problems solve themselves automatically. Jesus said, don't take any thought for the morrow. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Gentiles seek these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things even before you ask him. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What was he saying? If you find these things have forever not been added to you, then realize you are not seeking the kingdom of God appropriately. That's what he said. You are not seeking his righteousness appropriately. Now, listening to this man of God again today, I refer to him a lot, all right? Kenneth Hagin. He said there was a time after they left the church where he was preaching, where he was pastoring, because of the commandments of God that he came to understand. For the next, I don't know how long now, let's just say 18 months or 2 years, thereabout. He said, I wasn't scratching the bottom of the barrel. You know, the way Americans talk, that things were so rough, he was scratching the bottom of the barrel. He said, no, I wasn't scratching the bottom. The barrel was on top of me. That is, that when he needs $150, he gets $50. His car became junk. He sold the car off as junk. And only the money he got from it, he used to pay what he was owing. Not as if he got a new one. So one day he went to go and pray and said, God, this is not what is called eating the good of the land. So the Lord answered him, what did that scripture say? He said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. He said, look, I left my church according to what I believed was the word of God to me. I was obedient. And God said to him, yes, you were obedient, but you were not willing. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Thank you for that thunderous silence. That's what Andrew Mark would say. He said, the Lord said to him, you were willing, but you were not, sorry, you were obedient, but you were not willing. That is, if you are willing and obedient, that is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, everything he had been doing, he thought he was doing what was right, but the other things were not being added to him. So he went to pray. And God said, listen, you were obedient, but you were not willing. Other things the Lord told him, you walk by faith for healing, you walk by faith for good health, but you don't walk by faith for finances. I'm not teaching about that now, all right? Because I have come to understand some things myself. That, actually, what I'm bringing out from it is this. He was not seeking the kingdom. He was not walking according to righteousness. So all other things were not added to him. So if you find that things are not being added to you, that's what we are teaching concerning God-centered praying. You will say, why am I not? What is going on? Where am I not seeking it? Don't think, look, you cannot, it is not allowed for you as a child of God to turn your problems to an everlasting prayer point. You know what I mean by everlasting prayer point? Every crusade you have gone there, trying to solve the same problem. Let me just say something quickly. You will not get any answer. Those crusades are meant for those who don't know God yet. Did you hear what I said? No, you didn't hear it. If you heard it, you would have answered me yes. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's meant for those who don't know God yet. It's almost like advertisement of the gospel. For those who have already given their lives to Christ, your miracle is not in a crusade. Do you hear what I said? No, it's not there. Your miracle is not in a crusade. It's not in any special bottle of anointing oil. No, it's not there. Look, anointing oil is good, though. I believe in it totally. Because in the scriptures, is any sick amongst you, let him call upon the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. It's in the scriptures. But listen, for the child of God, don't listen. You have a problem, it has refused to go away. Settle down and say, wait. This problem. Go over to one side first. Face the Lord and say, how have I not sought the kingdom? How am I not seeking his righteousness? Because indeed, if I seek the kingdom and seek his righteousness, listen, seeking the kingdom doesn't mean I give a seed towards planting a new branch in my church. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes people think that that's what it means to seek the kingdom. That if I give more towards the progression of the gospel, that means I'm seeking the kingdom. That is totally not what it means to seek the kingdom. Even though those are good works. The doing of good works is not the primary thing about seeking the kingdom. The kingdom of God is first established inside you. Do you get my point? That's it. It is first established inside you. Many people, they are, listen, oh God. You know, I taught on Saturday. If you're not around, get the CD. I explained that when we talk about the will of God, the will of God is not, shall I marry Jane or marry Priscilla? That's not the matter of the will of God. The will of God is not, hey, Brother Andrew has proposed, Brother Ben has proposed, Brother Philip has proposed, Brother Banky has proposed. Which one? There may be another Banky there who's single. Now, what's the problem? There may be another Banky there that's not married. All right? The Lord is good. Some of these ones have proposed. Which one is the will of God? That's not what the will of God means. Without preaching the details about that again, the will of God simply means, before now, they told me that because I am from Anambra State, I cannot marry the brother that is from Enugu State. That is called walking out of the will of God. Are you getting my point? So which one is the will of God? There's no will of God. Andrew, Philip, what's the other name? Before Banky. Banky is the last one. There was Andrew, Ben, Philip, and Banky. None of them is the will of God. None. The one that, what is the will of God is wiping away my brain from, that is wiping the rubbish ideas planted in my mind. We read that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It said, this is the will of God. What? Sanctification. What is sanctification? I change my ideas, I change my thought processes. The establishment of divine thought process in your life is called seeking the kingdom of God. The establishment of the knowledge of God in your life is what is called seeking the kingdom of God. Let me say to you, if you wipe away rubbish ideas from your mind, let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the easiest. Oh God, God is giving me understanding these days. For a long time, we used to hear those days, inner witness. That's how God speaks to his children. Finally, I got the meaning of inner witness. I quarreled for a very, very long time with Christians over their inner witness problem. The reason is because I've seen inner witnesses that are witnessing nonsense. I've seen God spoke to me. I said, that one is not God. He said, it's God that spoke to me. I said, Nalai, this is wolf in sheep clothing that spoke to you. It's an angel of darkness disguising as an angel of light, and you don't know the difference. I've seen a lot of it. That used to be my own quarrel with people when they were talking about the issue of how does God speak to you? How do you hear? Is it inside witness, outside witness, inner witness, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit? I said, my brother, relax. I've seen my brethren do all kinds of things. A man will discuss with me today now and say, man, what I'm just thinking, man, that's how they like him, man. We're talking, he's forgotten that he told me. 6 months later, he'll come and say, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit began to say, speak to me, that I should go and talk to Sister Jane. And in your mind, you want to tell him, say, if I beat you now, you've forgotten that 6 months ago, you were telling me how every time she passes, your body would do jiggy jiggy like railway. You have forgotten. Now you want to now Christianize the whole thing. You want to look spiritual. Brother Banky, praise God, praise God. I don't know, I'm into this evangelism thing. Marriage is not even important to me, but as I was praying, the Lord was just... That's why I used to quarrel. But finally, I came to understand the real inner witness. You know what the real inner witness is? I'll tell you. The first day I saw my wife, I looked, I just said, fine girl. That was my inner witness. My inner witness to her. And that was my inner witness. See, Pastor Banky, are you sure? Yes. You don't believe it? This is 15 years later. No, 16 years later, actually. 16 and a half years later. Because I knew her for a little over a year before we got married. So now I look back and say, yes, that was the inner witness. My inner witness instantly. The moment I saw the girl. Listen, go and read my story in the book. Should I say yes? I titled the chapter, I Married the Girl I Liked. You are not spiritual. You don't know. I'm very spiritual. It's you that don't understand the meaning of spirituality. Spirituality is not, did God speak? Did I pray until my inner began to witness? That is not spirituality. Spirituality is that, just to give a practical example, all right? Not a big deal, but just a practical example. Spirituality is that my father was born in Ondo State. I was born in Ondo State. That means I'm second, third, fourth generation, seventh generation Ondo State man. Amen? Her father was born in Delta State. Somewhere, which one of those riverine areas, Sha? Anyway, she's from Delta State. And, listen to this. Of course, what I'm going to say is that she's from Delta State. But it did not cross my mind that we are not from the same place. That is the will of God. My inner had been witnessed to. Are you getting what I'm saying? My inside had been witnessed to that certain things are crap, nonsense, when you're talking to God. What I did was to purify my spirit of defilement. Defilement of spirit is that, one day I was talking to one of my aunties. She said, where is she from? Then I said, no, Delta, I will not agree. You have to marry from Ondo State. I said, in fact, maybe I should marry from Owo. He said, yes. In fact, maybe I should come to Enugu. That's our own region there. In fact, maybe I should look for a second cousin. Maybe everybody will be happy. I told her, auntie, you should know the difference between when you are being asked your opinion, when you are being informed of something. My wife used to think I was very, very, very hard person. But that's how come I bought her peace of mind. She knows. I told my auntie, there's a difference between when I'm asking you what you think and when I'm informing you of what I have thought and have concluded concerning. If you don't like it, don't come for the wedding. I told my mother, want your sister very well. He's very relaxed now. She was just joking. I said, if it's a joke, you should stop it. Kind of nonsense joke is that one. What am I trying to say? There are some visible stick in their heads. And I want to wait for their inner to witness. Of course, you start witnessing all kinds of things. We say, what is the will of God? The will of God is not, should I marry for or not? The will of God is that will I agree to marry a woman that's not from my place? The will of God is that will I understand what God has said? The will of God is that will I receive that scripture that says, henceforth we know no woman after the flesh. A man too. If any babe is in Christ, for the single boys, she's a new creature. And if any guy is in Christ, ladies, he's a new creature. Old villages have passed away. Old tribes have passed away. That's what I'm trying to explain. If any sister is in Christ, she's a new creature. The ability to receive that totally is walking in the will of God. Back to my inner witness issue. If you can totally cleanse your mind, your spirit, your thought processes, you are purged. It's called the renewal of your mind. I can assure you of one thing. You cannot simply marry any girl you like that agrees. Of course, if he doesn't agree, now by force. Or you marry any guy that asks you and you like him. If those things are settled, I make bold to say, whether you know how to hear your spirit or you don't know how to hear your spirit, you will not miss the will of God for your life. As long as Joseph keeps away from Mrs. Potiphar, his wife is coming into his life. That's the word of God. Joseph, purify yourself of defilement by Mrs. Potiphar. And due season, what's the name of his wife again? Asenath will come into your life. That's what we're talking about. Let me not forget that we're in the school of prayer. So this is what our prayer is about. To purify ourselves of these things. That's what prayer is about. We can't focus on our problems. We ask God, okay, now, things are not working the way I think they should. So there must be something about the kingdom that is not right in what I'm seeking. Many people, business is the reason why the business won't do well. They say, well, maybe this newspaper business I'm doing is not good. Let me go to Indomie business. They go to Indomie, it fails. All right, maybe it's called Indomie. No, Indomie is, oh, let's go to Chiki. Is it Chiki? I saw one big poster. They say, okay, Dangote has brought out the price of cement. Let's go and buy and start selling cement. Every business you go to is not working. Have you noticed you have changed businesses 3 times? 3 times you've changed businesses, you've changed location. You went to Bakiliki, you moved to Enugu, Enugu, you moved to Oka, Oka, you moved back, to, you went to Asaba, Asaba, you are back to Enugu now. You have seen it's not the business, it's not the location. There is one common factor in all of these places and these things. It is you. Do you get my point? God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Do you get it? You get what I'm saying there? That is, all other progress in business will be added to you. So what does that mean? Settle down and think. How am I thinking about money? How am I thinking about business? What is my purpose? How do I relate with people? Do I see every customer that comes into my business as somebody that's to be milked or somebody that's supposed to be helped? What is my name like? So people, after 1 year in business, everybody knows they have a bad name. Who is that? Says it's Brother Jumbo. What are you doing with him? We are thinking of bringing some produce from the north to the south. Does it involve money? You want to join your money with Jumbo? Once 3 people know you like that, just know your life has come to an end. And it comes to business. Once people can't trust you, number one thing, if you are doing business in life, rush, you know, work for it. Rush towards it. Labor for it. Make sure you have a good name. Now somebody can say, where's your 5 million? Oh, it's Brother Jumbo. Okay, don't worry. Everything is okay. Not that one. You are doing business with him with money. Well, I thank God for you, Sha. Once Christians are telling you, I thank God for you, Sha. Just know that they don't want to talk past like that. That's the reason why you have changed businesses 3 times and have been to 4 locations that has not worked. Nothing wrong with the business you are doing. It is you that is wrong with the business you are trying to do. Do you get the point I'm making? That is what the will of God is. The will of God is no. It is not, I have sold, I have done pure water business, it did not work, so I'm moving to yogurt. Many people, very common, when the business will not work, they now finally move into ministry. Let me give you advice. Go back to the business. Do it well for 1 year. When it started working, come to the ministry. It is not by running from that. The reason why the business is not working is not because we are called to ministry. Sometimes it happens. But my experience now is that that's not the main thing. The business of Peter was not working. Then Jesus helped it to work. Then he called him to ministry. So my advice to you is that go back to that business, do it for 1 more year. Once it breaks through, you have a good name, you are doing well, then now pray, Lord, did you call me to ministry? If you still will come to ministry that time, then you are called. Did you hear what I said? Because when Peter cast his net and the fish was plenty, business produced, boom. Jesus now said to him, now, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. So even though your business is not doing well and you say you have believed, go back, make sure the anointing of Christ upon that business makes it flourish before you now come and start telling me that you were called to business, into ministry. Many people walk into ministry because they can't do any other thing. They start ascribing every failure to call. It's because there's a call upon my head. Listen, you know what I said? Sometimes it happens. You hear what I said? Sometimes it does what? It happens. But please assume your case is not like that. Because most cases are not like that. Number one reason businesses fail is because the hearts of people are not established in the kingdom. It is not even because of economy. In everything you do in life, make sure that you learn your own lesson in it. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. We're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and the will of God. So I was explaining that the will of God is not okay. Should I do this or should I not do that? The will of God is, I'm a businessman. What am I pursuing? Is it money or a good name? Is it money or I want to be a blessing to somebody else? Is it money or I want to just establish righteousness? Is it money? Because for most people today, they think business is about making money. Business is not about making money. Please go and read the story of Henry Ford. The man is the best example I've seen there so far. At the point in time, he was one of the richest men in the world. But they established that I did not come here to come and make money. I came here to tell people that the way they are doing business is bad. I don't know what I heard what I said. He said, all I came to do, he said, my issue was not even about the engine. I want to make it cars, I want to make it cheap and all of that. He said, no, it's not just about the car. I want people to know that the way they are doing business is bad. That I came here, let me use my own words now, to establish righteousness. And when the man began to do his cars, he started saying, listen, I'm making cars. How come few people can buy it? How come only few? He said, it's because it's too expensive. Without any serious competition, he told his guys, we have to drop the price. How do we drop the price? He said, the more we drop the price, the more the number of people that can buy. And from who said ahead, it means he will make more money. No, he was thinking of the number of people that would be, blessed. That these cars are good for everybody. But I'm selling, for those days, I'm selling now for over $2,000. Not to today's $2,000, all right? That was $2,000 of very long time ago. He said, for the price I'm selling now, how many people can afford it? So the man kept on working without competition. He dropped the price until the last I knew, the thing came as low as $700. So every day he comes to work, he's like, okay, how can we shave another $100 off this thing? He said, okay, what we can do is, at the same time, he said, men who are working should earn more money. At the same time, the man said, listen, if you are working, any money, you should have peace of mind to be able to enjoy it. So he began to develop estates where his people will stay. He said, if people are sick, they can't work. He ensured that the estates were clean. They will go around inspecting your house. And at the end of the day, what did he say? He said, I have proven to everybody that the way that they are doing business is bad. And the way I'm doing it, and the way I told them to do it, is the correct way. And the success of Ford Motor Company is the way by which I can tell them that they are wrong. Today you buy a car, they advertise it, 100,000 kilometers, 5 years warranty. He was the first to start that. Who before him, they will make a car and they want you to be coming back to them to buy parts. If the car spoils, they make money. He said, no, if I make you a good product, he said, if I make a product, my name is on it. The Bible says a good name is to be desired more than silver and gold. He said, my name is on it, so my integrity is with it. So why should it spoil? The man put service centers everywhere. Say, if your Ford car spoils, drive it in there. It's my fault, not yours. Now the whole world has copied it. Now if you sell a car now without warranty, brand new, who will go near there? One of the reasons why, when I wanted to buy my car, one of the things I favored Kia, apart from other things, was that they had a service center here. That was one thing that I said, they have a service center here. So if they are giving me 3-year warranty, 100,000 kilometers, if you want me to drive all the way to Port Harcourt to go and have my car serviced? I said, no, I go here. Where did that whole thing start from? One man. It's called, I'm describing seeking first the kingdom. Any business that you are doing and you cannot see how you are going to bless somebody with it, you are in the wrong place. You are out of the will of God. Even if God called you to ministry and you are doing your ministry, but how you can, you know, and what is driving is how I can get money, you are out of the will of God. Even though you are in the center of God's call for your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? If a God appeared to you, say, my son, I have called you to pastor a church, and the church is in Enugu, and you are going to start it. And the name of the church is going to say, is going to be, You Started It, International Ministries. And you heard the word of God, and you came into town, and you started the church, and you called it, You Started It, International Ministries. You've obeyed everything that God told you. At the end of the day, the church does not do well. Men, you know, the other day, Bishop and I were talking. I said, look, all of us are called. You understand my point? You see vision, you don't see vision. We are all called. If you are called, say amen.
Amen.
I don't mean you are called to start church. So if you are afraid to say amen. I didn't mean you are called to become a missionary. But there is a calling upon your life. So the fact that you are called is no guarantee that you will succeed. He said, I've identified my call. I will be in the center of that call. It's no guarantee that you will succeed. You can be in the center of your call and you will fail and die, both of them combined. The same time. And the center of your call. He said, are you saying my call does not guarantee success? Yes, that's what I said. It does not guarantee success. Why? Because you can be in the center of the call of God and you'll be out of the will of God. I can prove it to you quickly. Remember the story of Moses? Moses was called by God, amen?
Amen?
Moses went to obey the call of God, amen?
Amen?
Then on the road, what happened? God met him to kill him. Why? Because brother Moses was called and he did not circumcise his son. Not circumcising his son was walking out of the will of God, even though he was in the center of the call of God, but he did not circumcise his son, so the man was going to die. So, brethren, don't just worry about the call and plan of God. Worry, in quotes now, about the will. Moses had to quick that Zipporah when Moses was about to die. By that time, because when he said God came to kill him, his heart was failing. He couldn't breathe anymore. He was panting for breath. He couldn't raise a hand. When Zipporah saw it, she instantly knew what happened. And she quickly rushed and circumcised the boy. And the man recovered. He was in the center of the call of God for his life, yet he was going to fail and die. That is why, brethren, when I'm raising prayer points, like we are going to do now, our prayer is not... Have you noticed that enemies not get... Look, let me tell you your problem, in quotes now, your issue with Satan. God has said to Satan, have you considered my servant Emeka, in case that's your name? And the devil has said, you have put a hedge around him. There's a hedge around you. Say amen.
Amen.
The devil cannot touch you. Say amen.
Amen.
That's a matter of fact. So don't worry about him. If you are talking about worry, now being concerned about something, it is about how much am I pleasing. Those of you who say, nah, if you marry the right man, your marriage will be happy. Lie. What did I say?
Lie.
No, I didn't hear you well enough.
Lie.
Lie, lie. Big lie. Can marry the right woman and when you wake up in the morning, bang, bang, round one, I will go to here. People think because God spoke to them, it means that everything will be okay. No. No. When you finish marrying the right man, Am I the right woman? You now buy the right book and read the right verses and obey the right scriptures. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. You now love her rightly as Christ rightly is loving the church rightly. You now honor him and respect him as Sarah respected and honored her husband. Now you are walking in the will of God. I know you married the right man. Many people say that things are not working well. The day I married, I knew it was the wrong person I married. It's a lie. The reason why they are not working well is because you are not obeying the right words today. That is the reason. That is the reason. So when we're talking about walking in the will of God, therefore, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about praying. You know, I said that you cannot obey these things by your own strength. You can't obey these things by your own strength. And that's my emphasis. You can't. You cannot obey these things by your own strength. You want to respect and honor a man? It is easy to say until you marry a mugu. Marry a man that's always saying everything that is wrong. When he gives when you see wrong decision 6 times in a row. Oh, the Lord is good. Okay, let's even say, don't forget that one. Also, one day you are going to marry a man that doesn't seem to understand you at all, which is a lie. Or every woman tells themselves, "You don't understand me. Who understands that? Come get that nonsense." So all these single girls will be saying that rubbish. No married woman talks that nonsense. If you don't understand, you explain yourself. Sorry, ladies, I beg you. It's true now, which is understand. Come on, open your mouth and explain yourself. What are you talking about? I keep on telling my wife, in those days, not now, things have gotten much better over the last 50 years. Getting better every day. So you think it's, you just think that you are the only one that has a hard time understanding you. You understand? That is, you are the one that needs to be understood. You don't think I need to be understood too. Is it because I just decided I should let you do the crying? Me too, I can cry. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. What I'm trying to say here is this. Sometimes we get to those situations in life. One is as if obedience to the word of God is not good. It's not easy. Like, it's not practical. Now, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You know? Yes, it's true. I don't know what you are going through. But there is somebody that knows what you are going through. His name is Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. He now said, "Draw near to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help at such times of need." That's what I'm preaching. That is all I am preaching. That is all I am preaching. And that's what I'm saying. That's what our prayer is for. Everybody, I said you should open somewhere earlier, right? Okay, Colossians chapter 1 is one that we know here a lot, all right? We're always quoting it. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, the issue is life. That people don't, we haven't taken the word of God as a standard for life and pursued it. That is, pursue it. Pursue it hard. That's the major problem with life. If we take this word as a standard of God and pursue it hard, we'll be so busy praying about it. One day my wife annoyed me in the house, not too long ago. So if you think that thing stopped like 6 years ago, it's a lie. This must have been the last few weeks, maybe like the last 3 months or 4 months. Okay, maybe 5 months, but it's not up to 6 months. It's that recent. She was still feeling very, very righteous. This wicked pastor that I married. Yeah, you keep quiet. When I opened my mouth to talk, When I opened my mouth to talk, the next day, after I finished talking, my wife ran. She disappeared. Where did she go to? She carried the pillow, went to the study, lay down on the floor and began to cry to God. That's what I'm talking about. I peep. Ah! He said, Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, I repent of every... She began to repent. Before she had been feeling very obstinate. Say, yes, I'm righteous, he's wicked. How could he do me like this? I'm not talking initially. When I opened my mouth, I'll talk finish. I showed her, you know, apart from being a pastor of teaching the word of God, I'm actually the pastor in my house. That is, whether you're a preacher or not, in your house, you're also pastor. So I took on the prophetic and pastoral anointing inside the house and began to Nathan her. You know Nathan and David? I did her like Samuel did Saul. You have not obeyed the word of the Lord that commanded you to kill the Amalekites. It is you that took the goat. You understand? That was what Nathan did to David. By the time I finished, you know, my wife is like David. He said, against the old Lord have I sinned. She ran to the study, carried Bible. Sit down there. Pray. Confess. Say, yes, this is good. Now, don't think I don't confess my own sins. Do I do? I'm trying to tell you that. I do now. You know, I talk to myself. Hey, if you don't talk to yourself, you will sick one day, die. Hey, I'm not joking. Listen, especially when you're a preacher. Everybody's doing you good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. What is the word of the Lord to us, sir? And nobody's telling you the word of the Lord. You had better hear the word of the Lord by yourself. I'm telling you the truth. Whatever you wake up in the morning, now headache. How could they do bang? He said, oh, come on, people stop pounding. He said, nobody's pounding anything. Ah! That is, now die, you won't die with that. I'm telling you, now die. So, I'm being honest with you. I talk to myself. Especially when I'm, like, you know, there are this set of messages I've been listening to in the last few days. And it was preached to preachers. I listen to every word. Anyone that sounds like me, I just assume it is me. Even though it was preached like 10 years ago, or I think more than 10 years ago, maybe like 20 years ago, the man don't know me. But once it sounds like me, I say, okay, that man is talking to me. And a lot of times I'm driving, there and there you start praying with that word. Otherwise, please let me just say the truth. Don't let God correct you. When you want to pray, say, God, please, don't correct me yet. Let me just send somebody. That one is easier. If your husband talks to you, you don't listen. Just listen to him. If God opens his mouth and says you don't listen, you go deaf. So don't let him talk to you. No, honestly. The correction of God. You know what happened to David? Go and number Israel. Joab said, okay, no, nah, it's not necessary. David said, what do you mean? Okay, sorry, sir. People said, why is my Lord? He didn't hear. Then when he finished, God said, all right. I have now come to do the correction myself. Choose one. David said, yeah. Why did I not listen to Joab? He was now wishing he had listened to Joab and co. That is why the Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. The Bible says, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For the Lord our God is a consuming fire. That was not written to unbelievers, though. It was written to Christians. When I say Christians, just they misbehave anyhow. Okay, let us correct you. You're not here. God, when he decides to correct you, the Lord is good. Now, why did I tell that story? To let you know that that's what we do with the word of God. When we hear correction, the Bible said the word of God is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. This is what a man of God uses, a woman of God uses to purge himself, herself. Make yourself perfect is with the word of God. You don't struggle into obedience. I was explaining. You, in quotes now, struggle in prayer. I've been talking about that, you know, for a long time. That garden of Gethsemane thing. That is what we do with God's word. Therefore, I said we should open to where? Colossians chapter 1. All right, this is the prayer we are going to take now for the minutes that we have left. From verse 3, I'm going to jump here and there to, before I get to the main place I'm going to, so as to save time, but we have to back up a bit so as to get these things in context. Paul said from verse 3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you. If somebody is praying for you in a particular way, you can pray for yourself that way also. Do you understand that point? He said, praying for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as in all the world. Jump down now to verse 9. It said, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you. This is our prayer point. To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And he went ahead to teach more things. But what I want to bring out is that prayer here. We need to look at that prayer from in verse 9. He said, we are praying that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will. You know, we're talking about that. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let's rise to our feet, everybody. We're going to pray with this, and then we'll close within a few minutes. The other time I talked about increasing in the knowledge of God. Again today, from what I have said, I believe I've stirred everybody up. This is what we taught on Saturday. And I reviewed it extensively just a while now ago now. And it's forming the basis of our prayer. Remember, without words, without understanding, you will not know how to pray effectively. Let me go over that again. Without words, that is the proper word from God, without those words, without understanding, your prayer will not be effective. Daniel prayed when he read the book of Jeremiah. When he read the book, he understood what God wanted to do and he understood the timing. Many of us who have been praying, God, give me my wife, give me my wife. God, like I said on Saturday, God said, why I have not answered you is that you don't understand my will yet. My will is not, is it Angela, is it Jane, is it Priscilla? No. My will is, what do you call marriage? If you marry a wife today, if I give you one of my beautiful daughters, are you going to treat her the way your father thinks women should be treated in your village? Is that what's going to be your expectation of her? He said, please, go and learn. When you have learned what it means to have a wife, then I will answer you. That is, you go and learn my will. Do you understand that point? Lord, I need a job. I need a job. What you're thinking in your heart is that, where will I go sit down, do next to nothing, and get a lot of money, which is very common these days. Yes. God said, that's why I've not answered you. What is my will? Go and learn what it means to have a job. Go and learn what it means to be a blessing. Go and learn what it means to use your skill and your abilities to affect somebody else's life. Go and learn what it means to make somebody rich, not yourself. That's what it means to have a job, is to help somebody else get rich. It's very important we understand that. People think that, you know, I need to get money. No. If somebody is paying you 2 naira, he should be making at least 4 naira. If it's not happening, you're not working according to the will of God. Are you getting my point? When it even comes to, you want to own your own business, you know? The other day, Yinka and I went to go and preach, and our host was discussing a particular school in that particular city. And he said that at the point in time, it's a mission school. So they brought the books. There were some quarrels. So they brought the books and said, okay, let us look at the books. And they found out that the wage bill of that school, the staff, what they paid them was, it came to less than 10% of the total expenditure. Everybody then instantly disagreed. He said, we are sorry. First of all, double the teacher's salaries. Like, before we talk further, go and double the teacher's salaries. That for these are the people impacting knowledge. This was a school. Into the lives of these children, they are the ones that are earning the least. What are you doing with the rest of the money? These are the people paying the fees. They say, we are sorry. We insist you double the teacher's salaries. Now, let's forget that it's a mission school. As it's even your private business. It's very important you ensure that those who are working there, you understand, they are being blessed. Listen, he said, J-O-Y, remember that song? J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. When it comes to your business, it's the same thing. You want the business to be sustained, very important. You have to be a good, you know, manager of money. You see the scriptures, God expects that. Then, who are the others? Your clients, the society, your workers. Once all these people are happy, Jesus is happy, your clients are happy, your workers are happy, you, don't worry, all other things shall be added unto you. I mean, these are divine precepts. What is the will of God? To learn these things. Therefore, let's begin to pray. Everybody, grab your Bible. That is the declaration we used to declare at the beginning of our teachings. Today, we want to make it a prayer so that we will use it every time we go, both as a declaration and also as a prayer. From that chapter 1, verse 9, I want everybody to shout, you know, begin to pray. If I just say after me, say, I pray in the name of Jesus.
I pray in the name of Jesus.
Say, I pray in the name of Jesus.
I pray in the name of Jesus.
That I be filled with the knowledge of your will, O God. I ask for spiritual wisdom and understanding. That I may walk in a manner worthy of you. To please you in all respects. So that I will bear fruit in every good work. And continually increase in the knowledge of God. Say, strengthen me with all power. According to your glorious might. That I may attain all steadfastness and patience. That I may give you thanks at all times. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's a very simple prayer, isn't it? But you understand the emphasis today. The emphasis is on that knowledge of his will. That's the emphasis. That God, I want to be filled with the knowledge of your will. I'm going to give us a few minutes, each person. Because like I say all the time, anytime we start speaking like this, the Holy Spirit starts talking to you. Listen. The word is alive. What it means to be alive is that these are not just letters. It's not just sound waves in your ears. They are living things so that what Mr. A is hearing is different from what Mr. B is receiving. The word comes and speaks into your own area of life. We have declared this, all of us together. I want us to just take a minute now, everybody, begin to pray. Bow down your heads and begin to pray from the bottom of your hearts. In that particular area, say, Lord, I want the knowledge of your will. You have seen, we have said it. It is not the business. Which business is working in this city? No, it is the knowledge of his will. We used to think the knowledge of his will means that I know the business I'm supposed to do. Yeah, that one comes later. The first thing is, and for those ones, you are guided into them automatically. As you are praying there, what you are asking the Lord for is, I want the knowledge of your will in this particular area. Especially, now listen to this, the area in which you appear stagnated. The area in which you have prayed. The last 3 years you have been praying on this matter. What you now need is the knowledge of his will. Many times for some people, God will say, stop praying. That is the knowledge of his will. Your prayer has become a matter of worry. Just go about your business. I heard you 3 years ago. The time is not right. That's why I've not answered you. Sometimes that's all there is to it. Other times God says to you simply, listen, my girl, listen, my boy, you don't know what you are asking. It happens. People sometimes come to God, they don't know what they are asking. Therefore, let us pray. Say, Lord, give me the knowledge of your will. Declare it loud. Say, Lord, give me understanding and I shall live. That's what prayer is about. We're talking about God-centered praying. This is how we pray. This is how we pray. When you are filled with the knowledge of his will, listen to me. Life responds to you because you will start doing the right things automatically. And life will start responding to you automatically. Once you are filled with the knowledge of His will, you start doing the right things and life starts responding to you automatically. That is the prayer point for today. In that particular, I say, Lord, sometimes you're a minister. You need to pray, what is the knowledge of your will here? Now, I'm not just talking about, God, what do you want me to do? It's what is that thing that pleases you in the way by which I do things? That what is that thing that pleases you? I said the other time that these days, Christians have a problem. Testimonies are only for when I get results that appear positive to the world. If I'm denied a job, the testimony is that I got a bigger one. Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes the testimony simply is that the conditions for that lucrative job didn't meet my expectations as a Christian. That is, it will defile my conscience. It will not allow me to walk closely with God, so I turned it down. And that is the testimony. What have you gained by it? I please God. That's it. That's why we need to pray. Listen, brethren, this is why we pray. This is what our prayer is about. Whatever it is you are doing, there is a way you can do it better. And that better way is called the knowledge of His will. There's a way you pay your staff. There's a way you treat your customers. There's a way you reason about your ministry. Even though the ministry may have done well, but you need to increase and improve in some things. That's what he talked about. I'm praying, Paul said, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Say, Lord, I receive understanding from you today. I receive understanding. Say, Lord, I receive understanding. I receive understanding. I receive the knowledge of your will. Begin to declare it. Say, Lord, I receive the knowledge of your will. I receive understanding. I receive the knowledge of your will. Now, very important, say, I lay down every contrary idea. Everything that I came into ministry with as my idea concerning how it should be done. I lay them down before your altar today. I say, Lord, teach me. Teach me. Give me understanding and I shall live. Oh, my societal ideas concerning marriage. Who I can marry. Where I can marry from. How to live my life as a married person. Say, Lord, I lay them down. I forsake them. I reject them. They have become strongholds in my heart. And I say to these strongholds, be gone. I cast them down deliberately. In the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I receive your own insight. I receive spiritual wisdom. I receive spiritual understanding. I receive the knowledge of your will. God has a will concerning how to respond to every situation. And that's what we are talking about. Say, Lord, I receive the knowledge of your will. Those days, we learn this, and let me just read that scripture, and then we'll begin to close with it. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, like, something very similar to what we read from the letter to the Corinthians just a while ago. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be, let's start from verse 16. From 15. He said, for this reason, I too, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and the love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. What do I pray concerning that God, he said, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. The same thing. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? Let me just stop there, because Paul, after that, began to describe the qualities of these things. I want to do something again. Let's just pray again. Say, Lord, I want to understand the hope of my calling. And I want to experience the demonstration of the power of God in my life. That's what he said. That you will understand the surpassing greatness of his power that's working towards you because you believe. Because you see, a lot of times we have had other things helping us in life. We've had money, we've had people. So we have never come to realize how God does things sometimes without those things. So just pray a prayer now for a minute and say, Lord, I want to experience your power. I want to understand what it means to have angels guarding me. I want to understand what it means to know that God is my supplier. That is the hope we are talking about. To understand that God is my Father. That's the desire of my heart. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Just ask God, say, Lord, I want to experience power. Now, I just feel like saying this. If anywhere is hurting in your body, begin to talk to that place. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have the power of God working in me. I have been redeemed. Therefore, I speak to this pain, be gone. Therefore, I speak to this trouble, be gone. Especially when it comes to health matters. Speak to your body now. And the healing power of God will enter that place. That is a power that works toward those who believe. Declare that I reject every negative counsel. Every word that maybe the doctor thought in my mind. In the name of Jesus. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Lord, we thank you for your power. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the liberty we have in Christ Jesus. Now everybody just say after me, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's start again. Say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. To fullness. I'm increasing daily. In my knowledge of God. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say it. I'm experiencing the power of God in my life. The power of God is touching every aspect of my life. Say, that power has healed my body. Now say, they say, it's leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Say, my walk is a walk of righteousness. Because I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Say, Christ is in me. I am not of this world. Christ is in me. My ways are different. My work is different. And the power is different. When I say the power is different, what I mean is that, listen, when people think you don't know people, they will know you know somebody. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I feel like dropping this. Your business will not do well because the economy is good. No. The primary reason why you will not sink is because you are walking by faith. When Peter sank, it was because he did not have faith. Faith is not just I believe it will be okay. Faith is that I hold on to righteousness no matter what it's costing me. That's part of what faith is. Faith is not just the way by which I get. Jesus said that I have the power to lay down. He was talking about his life. That his faith gave him the power to lay down his life. Sometimes, in your walk in life, by faith, you let something go. Say, but we spend so much money on that project. One of the things I would like to tell people in life, learn how to take loss. Let nobody tell you that by faith you will never lose anything. Let me tell you the truth about faith. By faith, you have to learn to lose some things. Because sometimes it takes away the first so that he might establish the second. I believe I'm talking to some people this evening. That's what faith does. With faith, you hold on tenaciously to righteousness. And then the power of God will manifest in your life. If you believe that, say aloud, amen.
Amen.
Let's just give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you for the excellence of your beauty, for for your power that's working in our lives. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.